Everyone, I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another Live Across the Pond without my pontification partner, Andrew Henderson. I had such a good time yesterday. I'm just going to roll on and do it by myself every single day. Oh, wait, he's sitting here. Might as well use him. Andrew, good afternoon.
Yeah, hang on a minute. I'm awake now. I'm awake. It's 11:30 here in the morning. I'm just awake now. And I've suddenly realized that when your clocks go forward, I should go backwards. Just about work that out now. Sorry, everybody.
So do you in the UK still have government testing you to see if you're lemmings and follow whatever they say to do twice a year and change the clocks?
They do. And normally, you know, I pass the test with flying colors. But when it's the good old USA, the old glory, when they change their time, it's a bit confusing for me, especially when it's not the same as us.
You do it next weekend?
At the end of the month, actually.
Oh, so we're way earlier than you this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you are way ahead of us on this one. This is obviously a 1776 effect that you decided to have an extra hour for over a month when you got rid of the king.
Yeah, we have tried to convince the American public that if you cut an hour off of the end of the day and you put it on the beginning of the day, you actually have more of a day.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. Yeah. You know, another fantastic thing to come out of the USA. You know, great.
Wait a minute. I can't argue with you. You're doing this. You're blaming us for starting it, and yet you're following our lead? That doesn't shine well on you.
I remember when we didn't change the clocks.
I don't remember that.
I remember going to school in the dark and coming home from school in the dark in the winter. It was something I remember very well, because we all used to have a luminous bib in order for cars to see us in the streets when we walked home unaccompanied in those days by our parents, because there wasn't crime in the streets and people could chat and talk and walk and not be fearful that some illegal immigrant would kidnap them.
Yeah, well, those days are gone.
They are in your country and in ours. Yeah. But have you heard about the Great Defection?
No.
Lee Anderson, deputy chairman of the Conservative Party, has defected to our new political party, which is called Reform. And the mainstream media have completely shut him down. There's a surprise. But that's big news, because it's telling the people that his big plea to the country when he's announced this is that he wants his country back. Interesting, isn't it?
So what exactly is the Reform Party?
Well, there you go. They are a sort of a Nigel Farage group, I would say, that's come out of the ashes of the Brexit Party, and they're called Reform. Only you wouldn't like them, Trent, because you would say they're part of the problem, because their leader and this guy as well were not exactly negative about the vaccines. From that perspective, there's a bit of an issue. And also, I have to say as well, I'm not entirely sure that him, the guy that's defected, or the leader, Richard Tice, aren't themselves globalists. But certainly a lot of other members of this party are anti-globalism. It's just, I think there's a few rats that are running to the wrong ship at the moment. That's how I'd describe that. But they know they've lost, you see, and their careers are over in our ruling Conservative Party. But they know that the baton is being handed over to the other part of the Uniparty, which is our equivalent of the Democrats, believe it or not. And yet the people know that the policies will be exactly the same. In fact, worse, because they will introduce 15-minute cities, all the climate change rules that you and I know about. And everything else to do with globalism will be implemented by the party that's about to win the election here in the UK, and people will lose their freedom, but they'll still vote for it anyway.
So are there people that still have faith that the government is going to be the solution to this problem in the UK?
got no option. Yes, they do.
There's always an option. You can't say there's no option.
They haven't, because at the moment there isn't a groundswell of political persuasion that tells people to vote for somebody different. And like you state, it needs for individuals to step up and stand as independents. We haven't got enough people that do that. It's too expensive to stand for election in the UK for independents to borrow the money to then have a chance of getting their message across to the electorate. It's a stitch up.
Well, you know, we have a groundswell of people, unlike I've experienced, that recognize in the United States our spending is a serious problem. Now, I'm not saying everybody's at that point, but there are more people at that point than any time I can remember. And I went on a little rant about that yesterday. But today, what I wanted to talk about in that regard, in this new spending bill, is that they have added a $15 million, I'm going to call it rabbit trail, or honeypot, for mandating a national ID system for our cattle. And you and I, last week, pretty eloquently walked through how your national ID system has done nothing to curb your bovine tuberculosis problem. We have been shouting that very loudly. I will say, though, the problem is that we have too many cattle groups within the United States that are supporting it. I don't know why. We're somehow convinced that if we don't have a national ID mandatory system, we can't sell beef around the world. Well, that's nonsense. It's complete nonsense and just an outright lie. And it is going to take more people standing up, not only just for the cattle tracking, but all of the spending that's included in this bill. They certainly haven't got the message yet. And the final thing, Andrew, is every one of these people who vote for it or against it or let it happen are going to come out in the country, campaign in 2024, and say, we have an out-of-control spending problem in the government. We need to shut it down. And I'm going to say, you're the problem. You're letting it happen.
And you'd be right. And you also know the truth. These organizations have been infiltrated. That's what's happened all along. They're infiltrated from the top down. They're not infiltrated from the bottom up. They're infiltrated from the top down. In fact, there are people in our National Farmers Union that don't realize that the decisions that are being made by our National Farmers Union aren't from the ground roots and the people out there in the suburbs of the countryside. They are the people in the processors and the supermarkets that have become corporate members of the National Farmers Union. They're the ones that make all the decisions, because then they can control the prices of everything, the distribution of everything, and the control of food in total.
So I'm not going to capitulate to you that the organizations are all infiltrated. There's a certain level, I'm going to say the national organizations have people in power that don't agree with their membership, and so they bring about a narrative that makes it look like it's a good idea. Most of the state associations are just afraid to take on the establishment, that it might cost them something, it might cost them a job, it might cost them a grant, might be some, because one day when we were in the heart of this whole fight with Michelle Obama on the school lunch program and the entire nutrition program within the USDA, where they put our kids on a path of starvation and depredation, I contacted the lead lobbyist for the cattlemen, and he point blank told me, he said, Trent, you're absolutely right, but we are not going to utilize our political capital on this one. We're going to save it for another one. When you have kids being told that fat and protein is detrimental to their health and they're going to remove it from their diet, there's nothing more important. There's no political capital you should save for anything other than getting kids on the right path of nutrition.
No, but I'm sorry. I don't think you, I think you underestimate how much these organizations, a little bit there and a little bit here, have been infiltrated with the belief. Well, even fear is infiltration. Fear. Somebody says, oh, you know, if you don't try and win that one because we've got a bigger one to win. That means somebody is influencing somebody in a way they shouldn't be influenced. It's either right or it's wrong, Trent. I'm learning that at the moment here in the UK. You know, there are things happening here with regards to other countries getting involved in UK agriculture. And it's a murky old pool, because we are starting to realize that people may be getting involved in UK agriculture not for the reasons of working with UK farmers, but for the reasons of making their own industry survive.
Well, like what countries? I can't ask you that question because my clock says I should be going to a break. Live across the pond.
I'll talk about it afterwards, but in essence, those countries that are having all their animals culled have got industries that won't be supported without those animals. So they're making decisions that are going to have a direct effect on our farmers.
Live across the pond, regaining control for the farmer. Andrew Henderson, Trent Luce. We'll be back with more after this.
So the Injured Military Wildlife Project of North Dakota is a group of citizens here in Southwest North Dakota that think it's important to pay our veterans back for the service that they did for our country. Our founder, Glenn Geetson, he was a Vietnam veteran. After the war, Glenn always thought it would be the appropriate thing to do to get an organization to honor veterans for their service and honor them in the North Dakota way, and that is bring them out to the Badlands to show them that we did appreciate their service.
Hello and welcome to the MHA Interpretive Center. It's the perfect stop along the Lewis and Clark Trail and the cultural hub of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation. Nestled along the shores of Lake Sagagawea in Newtown, North Dakota, 1 mile west of the Four Bears Casino, you can enjoy amphitheater performances, art exhibitions, and educational workshops utilizing our Living Cultural Center. Enjoy some coffee, browse our gift shop, and learn about the original people of this land. Learn more at mhanation.com/interpretive center.
Trent Luce here for my friend Greg Hager. Do you know why he has been named the Entertainer of the Year? It's because he writes his own stuff. It's because what he writes and performs and entertains will touch you in a way like very few songwriters can touch you. His country, his Christian roots come to life. Visit GregHager.com for tour dates, merchandise, and book the show yourself. Use the code GREG24 for a discount. GregHager.com.
Stop out to our facility, Highway 22 South. Let us build a truck for you.
East Fluke Trailers of Dickinson is a family-owned dealer with expert staff that know their products front to back. We stock over 150 units of all types and can custom order a trailer with the unique features and capabilities you require for brands you can trust. Our experienced service team is the reason we're also the best place to have your trailer customized or repaired. Count on Bass Fluke Trailers of Dickinson to keep you hauling.
Are you looking for something special or one of a kind? At Bassett Motors, we can help you find exactly what you want.
Come on in and experience how small town hospitality and personal service can make car buying a pleasure.
We know interest rates are important to you. We have multiple lenders to negotiate your lowest payment.
Visit us on Highway 281 in Carrington, North Dakota, and online at BassettMotors.com. Bassett Motors, where our customers send their friends.
Folks, when it comes to crop protection, you need equipment and technology you can count on. The Apache sprayer accomplishes all of that, but you need something else. A service counter and a group of people that'll help you when you need it. Simpson Farm Enterprises at SimpsonFarm.com and High Plains Apache from Mandan. They have the service, they have the equipment. All they need is your confidence. Online, SimpsonFarm.com or HighPlainsApache.com.
So see these cows here, Fred.
Welcome back, Trent Luce, Andrew Henderson. I'm in the big house at the Beck Studios. Andrew, he's in the big house too. Looks like maybe interrogation room or something.
No, I'm here for a meeting with a supplier after we do rural route, and you know, it's this is my meeting room that I very, very infrequently frequent, and I'm here today. I've listened to. I didn't realize I was speaking to people in America that had so much individual debt at any one time without knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. The master of research, Luke Tibor, told us during the break that every American, including your infant that was born yesterday, has a debt, a national debt of $105,000 per person.
And it's growing every second of the day.
Yeah. So, yeah. Andrew, I'm going to diverse us a little bit. Usually I share the message. I wanted to play this clip. I had it ready because, quite frankly, I didn't know if you'd show up or not. Got up at 3:30 to make this clip for you. Ooh. Curtis Junt is going to join us. He's spent a lifetime in North Dakota in the oil and gas and the pipeline business as an engineer. He's going to be at our Free Soil Coalition meeting Monday in York, Nebraska, and pay special tribute to this footage because there is actually a CO2 pipeline going in right now within 40 miles of my house. Let's play this.
Hello everyone, it's Trent Luce with the Free Soil Coalition and Luce Tales. You're invited to a Free Soil meeting March 18th, York, Nebraska at the York High School about property rights. Did you know the state of Nebraska is already burying CO2 pipelines? Saw it myself, Kearney County, Nebraska, happening March 18th. Curtis Junt will be present. He brings a lifetime of experience in the oil and gas pipeline business.
There seems to be a blizzard of information about the safety, what's going on with natural gas pipelines, what CO2 pipelines are, what they're not. I continue to have people tell me, oh, you know, pipelines are the safest transportation of any liquid we can come up with. I said, yeah, I don't disagree with that. CO2 is not the same animal. And this is your bailiwick. First of all, give us just an insight into your history, Curtis, in the natural gas pipeline and what it is that you've done.
Sure. Right out of NDSU with my engineering degree, I spent 15 years with an integrated utility company, energy company, spent 15 years in the interstate, building interstate, intrastate gas gathering lines. And actually the last stint of my 15 years there was drilling shallow gas wells and fracking them, which I did 92 to 97. I fracked about 120 shallow gas wells, and I was in charge of all that, built the gathering system, sat in the kitchens of ranchers. But prior to that, I was part of building the interstate and intrastate gas pipelines. And for the next 20 some years after that, I basically did my own thing. And I mean, I'm a champion of, as an energy economist, I'm a champion of base load energy being coal. And our coal companies have done a tremendous job over my almost 42 year career, taking mercury and nitrous oxide and sulfur dioxide out of their emissions. And what does that leave? What does that leave to try to keep attacking them? CO2. And the Progressive Green Movement came up with this idea 30 plus years ago that, hey, CO2, we can attack natural gas with that too. And you and I both know that CO2, I've heard your show, you've probably heard me say it, the CO2 that we're emitting down here on Earth is life-giving and is necessary for a growing population. I'll see you Monday, March 18th, York High School, 7 o'clock from 7 to 9.
And South Dakota Representative Carla Lems, Angel Cushing, and you, your input is requested, York, Nebraska, on Monday. So, Andrew, if you're not busy Monday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 Central Time on the new time, where we put an hour on the end of the first meeting. All right, so speaking of other countries, I've been certainly paying attention to what's going on in India because Jeff Bezos is investing a ton of money in what he's calling renewable and seeking those carbon credits. And apparently the Indian government has given subsidies to the equivalent of 100,000 farmers putting solar panels in, generating 1 gig of electricity now, and they're using those solar panels to generate water. And all of a sudden now all the people in the world are saying, hey, wait a minute, the water table is depleting by 3 feet a year because these Indian farmers are using solar panels to irrigate their crops. It doesn't matter what you do. There's always somebody complaining about how you're producing food.
Yeah, there is. And let's just cut to the chase here, because you didn't know that I was going to bring this up, but I saw some global carbon budgeting information that was updated from 2018, and how carbon emissions have changed since the year 2000. And I just want to just run through the facts here. Europe, minus 16%. USA, minus 10%. Other countries, plus 5.3%. But India and China, plus 165% for India, and 208% for China. Now, I say this because on our TV, we keep seeing these absolutely fantastic adverts for electric cars speeding through Chinese cities like Shanghai and Guangzhou. And there's all these billions of lights in the sky, all different colors. Are we really this stupid?
Yes. So I know what's going on kind of in China. What's going on in India with their increase of CO2 output? Because they're obviously putting a lot of subsidies into solar.
You know what? If you have a few solar panels and then you also build hundreds and hundreds of coal-fired power stations to increase your industrial capacity for things like concrete and machinery, I suppose you can get away with it. But the emissions don't tell no lies, and these are the global emissions. And you know, it's easy to cite a few wind farms and a couple of solar panels to say you're doing your bit. Let's be honest, Trent.
You're telling me that India is building coal-fired power plants comparable to China. I was not in the know on that.
Yeah, they are.
And kudos to them, because if it wasn't for China and India, we would be running short on plant food.
Don't forget, an awful lot of car manufacturing has moved away from Germany, not just new cars, but replica bits as well. They're all moved to the Far East, including India, because of the low wages of those people in making it very cost effective, but also the very low fuel costs. They don't care what they emit. That's the paradox of all this, that we buy all their produce in the name of climate change. That's the paradox. I mean, it is.
Here's another paradox. If you look at the amount of water that it takes to make a solar panel and utilize the lithium, it makes agriculture's irrigation pale in comparison. And yet people want to talk about agriculture is depleting the groundwater. What about the making the solar panel and going through the cooling process to generate all of the lithium into something that'll store energy until it burns?
Absolutely. But Trent, that's if you determine that carbon is the issue. And it's not the issue, is it? That's the problem. That the issue isn't an issue. You know?
I actually, I don't know what I'm looking at this moment, but it's something drastic, because the annual change in carbon dioxide from India. Oh, yeah, look, Andrew, look at India in the last year. They've fallen off the charts in CO2. Yeah. Let's do 2020.
Well, who supplied that chart? Joe Biden? I mean, at the end of the day, you know,
Statista,
who you were reporting
the other day as being this great chart maker.
Isn't it amazing how they can go up that much on the rest of the chart, but all of a sudden, boomby, doomby, doomby. I mean, what did they do? Cut off the power of half the country?
But still, the issue is that emissions are our friend. Emissions, yes. Sulfur dioxide, nitrous dioxide, methane, CO2, all contribute to plant growth, and they are our friend. And we continue to have people demonizing plant food, period.
You, Trent, you were. Why don't you get a T-shirt that says "I love farting" on it? That's it.
Well, why don't you get that, and I'll follow you around and record how people respond, and if you're making an impact and getting your statement across.
Oh, are they not emissions? Are they not emissions?
I didn't say they weren't emissions, but I'm into capturing the images. You're about generating the content, so it's all good.
Yeah. At the end of the day, natural emissions from animals are what makes the world go round, because they are consuming plants in areas we can't consume them, and turning them into meat, which is absolutely essential for an omnivore, not just to survive, but an omnivore to prosper. You can transport that food to where it needs to be consumed as well. It's an amazing thing, nature.
But you have to get up to speed on the new terminology. They upcycle protein, because they take very poor quality cellulose material, upcycle it into the most nutrient dense food substance on the planet. Beef, get some today.
Upcycle protein.
There you go. That sounds really good. Get that T-shirt.
Using cycling in that manner is a very good play on words, Mr. Trent Luce. I commend you.
Well, I got to be honest, I didn't actually come up with that. It was those organizations you were earlier talking about have been infiltrated that actually came up with that.
Very good. Very, very good. Actually.
Live across the pond, regaining control for the farmer, upcycling protein and information. See you tomorrow.